Shalom to all. Today's daf is Bava Metzia Daf Ayin, and we are starting about the third line with the words Amar Rav Anan, Amar Shmuel. And today's daf is sponsored Lilu Nishmas Maris Meir Sar Bas Rav Yaakov Moshe Hernish Shamash Avin Aliyah. And Lilu Nishmas Maris Rivka Bas Rav Meir Zev Hernish Shamash Avin Aliyah. I think Mara tells us Amar Rav Anan, Amar Shmuel. Rav Anan says the name of Shmuel. Maishal Yisaimim Motel Avaisim Ribis. As Motel to take money of Yisaimim. This is talking about Yisaimim that are under Bar Mitzvah, and so we're taking care of their money for them. We're allowed to take their money and lend it Beribis. So Amar Rav Nachman, Rav Nachman told him Mishum Diyas Minenu Safina Luhu Yisura. Just because they're Yisaimim, we're allowed to feed them Isser. This is money that's gained by Isser, and it means that we're giving them Isser. Yasmi da Achli Lavdid Hu, Yisaimim, they're eating something that doesn't belong to them. Lizu Basar Shivkayu. They should go after the one who left them, meaning their father who died. He left them and went to the next world. Well, they're going to follow him if we're feeding them with money of Isser. And Amar Rav Nachman continued telling Rav Anan, Emily Ezu Gufa de Uvda Hechiava. Please tell me what the whole story was. It must be that you saw Shmuel do something, and you thought that based off of that, it's okay to lend the Yisaimim's money with Ribbis, but really you're mistaken. So Rav Anan told him, Ahu duda de bnei mar ukva. There was a dud, which is a very large copper pot that was owned by the children of Mar Ukva, the Hava Beimar Shmuel. It was by Shmuel's house. Takel v'yavle, takel v'shakevle. He would weigh it and give it to people and weigh it when he took it back from them. And shakel agra v'shakel pechsa. He would take a fee for renting it out. He'd also charge for the pechas. If some of the copper of this pot got worn out, he would make the renter pay for that as well. And in a regular situation, if we weren't dealing with the Yisaimim, well, I agra loy pechsa v'pechsa loy agra. If he was charging for rent, he would not be allowed to charge for pechas. And if he's charging for pechas, he's not allowed to charge for rent. We had this yesterday. This would technically be ribbis, because the fact that they have to pay for any copper that gets worn away makes it like a loan, as if they borrowed the pot and are now returning the pot minus some copper, which is what they're paying for. And on top of that, they're also paying a fee. So that's ribbis. And by the fact that Shmuel did this with the Yisaimim's pot, it must be that it's okay to take money owned by Yisaimim and lend it with ribbis. So Amar Rav Nachman told Rav Anan, Kiha, afilu b'dekanani nami shari l'mavad. And in such a situation, even with older people, it's permitted to do. Meaning, this is not an issur of ribbis, and anyone's allowed to do this. Not just Yisaimim, Dama Kabli Alayu, Choscha de Nechasha, because they take upon themselves the depreciation of the copper, the Kama de Mikli Nechasha, Batzer Dame. As copper gets burned, it becomes worth less. In other words, there's two things happening here, says Rav Nachman. Some copper of the pot is getting worn away, and not only that, but the remaining copper goes down in value. So even though the lost copper is being paid for, the devaluation, the fact that now the pot is worth less, is not being paid for by the renter, and that's something the Yisaimim are taking upon themselves, and therefore there's no ribbis over here. This is a fair deal. And then you talk about money of Yisaimim, Amar Rav Bar Shila, Amar Rav Chizda, V'Amrila, and some say it was Amar Rav Bar Yosef, Bar Chama, Amar Rav Sheshes, Ma'ishal Yisaimim, Mata Alavaisin, Karav L'Schar, Rachik L'Hafsid. When dealing with money of Yisaimim, one is allowed to lend it, Karav L'Schar, and Rachik L'Hafsid. What is this? It's basically where we have a deal that one person takes money belonging to another, and the gains are split 50-50, but the losses are completely on the one who's taking care of the money. That's Karav L'Schar, Rachik L'Hafsid. The one whose money it is much closer to gaining than he is to losing, because he doesn't take responsibility for any of the losses, only the gains. Now we talk about this in Braisa, Tanur Banan, and Braisa tells us, Karav L'Schar Rachik L'Hafsid, Rasha. In a regular situation, when we're not talking about Yisaimim, if a person does a deal like this, then it's Karav L'Schar Rachik L'Hafsid, so he's considered a Rasha. Because this is like Ribbis, this is not Ribbis Ketsutsa, it's not prearranged Ribbis, but it's a Vak Ribbis, so he's considered a Rasha. However, if it's the other way around, then it's Karav L'Hafsid and Rachik L'Schar Chassid. He's a Chassid, because that means that he's greatly benefiting the one whom he's giving the money to. However, Karav L'Zev L'Zev, Rachik Mizeh Mizeh, if it's even, Zuhi Midas Kol Adam, that's what regular people do. Continue to talk about this, Amalei Rabbi Rav Yosef, Rabbi Tol Rav Yosef, Hani Zuzu Diyasmi, Hech Avdina Lahu, what do we do with money owned by Yisaimim? So Amalei told him, Vesvina Lahu Beidina, we give the money to the Bezdin, Vyavina Lahu Zuzu Zuzu, and the Bezdin gives the money to the Yisaimim one Zuzu at a time, and then the Yisaimim use that to buy their food. We're not going to give all the money to the Yisaimim because they might spend it on chocolate and ice cream, and then they're not going to have any money left, so therefore we make sure the Bezdin gives them a little bit of money at a time, so they just use it for the bare necessities. Amalei told him, the Karen, the principal, all their money is going to be gone. After a while, all the money is going to be finished. So you're not helping out the Yisaimim. Amalei told him, Mar Hechi Ovid, so what do you suggest? Amalei responded, but Kinan Gavard Islay Dava Pricha, we look for a guy that has Dava Pricha. Dava Pricha means little pieces of gold or golden nuggets. And why are we specifically looking for this fellow who has golden nuggets? That's because it must be that he's wealthy. If we find a guy that has a lot of possessions, a lot of stuff, or a lot of money, well, it could be that it's not actually his, and maybe other people lent it to him or deposited it by him. But a fellow who has Dava Pricha, little pieces of gold, since we're not talking about bars of gold or coins of gold, it's just random nuggets of gold, it must be that they're his, because other people are not going to deposit these things by him because they don't have a simon, and therefore this fellow is definitely wealthy. What do we do with this guy? We take this gold from him, and then we give him the Yisaimim's money based off of a deal of Karav L'Schar V'Rachik L'Hafsid, and then this wealthy fellow invests their money, and the profits are given to the Yisaimim to support themselves, and any losses are are on the investor, not on the Yusaimim, and therefore we're benefiting the Yusaimim this way. Aval Davar Mesuyim, Loi, but if he has specific things, as we just explained, if this guy who seems wealthy has Davar Mesuyim, he has a whole bunch of different stuff in his house that make us think he's wealthy, then we're not going to involve him in this deal. Don't be cutting in who, perhaps all the stuff that he has really been deposited by him, Va'asi Mare, Yav Simon, Vishakile, and then the real owner is going to come, give a simon, take it back, and this fellow who we thought was wealthy turns out not to be wealthy at all. And if he loses this money that you sign him and all of his investments, we're not going to have any way to collect it back from him because he's not really wealthy. Therefore, we have to make sure that we really find a wealthy guy. Now, Amar Rashi, Rashi says, Teinuchas makes sense, im shtakach gavri deslig davar pricha. If you find a guy that has these little golden nuggets, but ilam shtakach gavri deslig davar pricha, let's say you can't find a guy that has his golden pieces, nechlezuzu diasmi, does that mean that in this situation, the Yisrael's money is going to be all gone because we don't have any way to invest it safely? Elam Ravashi, Ravashi suggests differently. Chazin and Gavra, Demishvu Nechse, we look for a guy who is Nechasim, his property is quiet, meaning there's no error on him, no one's brought up any issues regarding this guy's property that really it's not his and really belongs to them or to somebody else. So we're pretty settled and confident that this fellow's stuff belongs to him. Umahemen, and he's trustworthy. Vishamadino Dairaisa, and he listens to Dinam of Dairaisa. Vloy Makabal Shamta Rabbanon, and he's never put in Cherim for not listening to Rabbanon. As if such a guy is trustworthy, and we give him the Yisemim's money in front of Bezdin, and he's going to be the investor. And if he loses the money or if something happens, so then we're going to be able to go to his property and take it away. And moving on to Ayinom Abez with the brand new Mishnah, we had this previously. One is not allowed to do a Tzayim Barzal deal with a Yid because it's Ribbis, but he is allowed to do this deal with a guy. What is Tzayim Barzal? So as we explained previously, this literally means iron sheep. And we have an investor, we'll call him Reuven, giving money or an item, and Shimon is taking care of that investment. However, as opposed to previously discussed that we had an investment that it was 50-50, the losses and gains were taken upon by both partners equally. Over here, by Tzayim Barzal, the managing partner is taking on 100% of the losses. The reason why it's called Tzayim Barzal is because this is an iron investment. This is really great for the investor, for the one who's giving the money or the item, because doesn't stand to lose, only to gain. And the reason why this is ribbis is because the managing partner is like he's taking a loan for all of the money or for the entire value of the thing that was given to him. And when he gives the investor his share of the profits, that's like paying ribbis for the loan. And that's why it's also to do with a yid, but permitted to do with a guy. And the Mishnah continues talking about a guy, v'levin mehenu malvin oson beribbis, one's allowed to borrow from and lend to a guy, beribbis, b'chein beger toishav, also the ger toishav. And furthermore, malvi yisrael ba'esov shal akum, midaso akum, avaloi midas yisrael, a yid can lend the money of a guy, midas the guy, but not midas a yid. And we're going to talk about what that means in the Gemara. So the Gemara begins by asking on Tzayim Barzal, remember the Rishus of the Makabel Kaima? Do you mean to say that the Tzayim Barzal deal is considered to be 100% in the Rishus of the Makabel of the one who's accepting it, meaning the managing partner? How could you say that? Verminal, ask you steer for a Mishnah. The Mishnah Mecharis tells us as follows, HaMakabel Tzayim Barzal Menah Nachrim, Vlada Esptur Ma Mechaira, that one who accepts Tzayim Barzal from a guy, the children are potter from Mechaira. For example, we have a guy that took his cow and gave it to a yid with his Tzayim Barzal deal, any children are potter from Bechar. Now, it's obvious that any children that are born to this original cow are potter from Bechar, meaning if they're firstborn, they're obviously not considered a Bechar, because the cow is owned by a guy, and we know that a guy's animal is in Chayv and Bechara. The Chiddush over here is talking about the next generation. Let's say, under management of the Yid, this cow has two babies. So let's say the second one belongs to the Yid, because they're splitting the profits 50-50, so one animal belongs to the guy, and the other one belongs to the Yid. And then that second animal, which is technically owned by the Yid, has a baby of its own, which technically means that it should be a Bechar. However, the Mishnah is saying that no, it's Pater from Bechar. And that clearly shows that this deal of Tzayim Barzal is not completely in the Rishus of the Makabel. Because if it was in the Rishus of the Makabel, then it should be Chayv in Bechar. And if that's really true, that it's not in the Rishus of the Makabel, then it shouldn't be an issue of Ribbis. So Amar Abaye answers like Kasha, there's no stira. Ha de Makabel le Unse Vizula, ha de le Makabel le Unse Vizula. The Mishnah Mechayrus is talking about where the guy accepted upon himself Unse Vizula, that if an Unse happens to it, or if it goes down in value, he's going to take on some of that loss. But our Mishnah is talking about where the investor didn't take on any responsibility, and therefore only in our Mishnah, or are we talking about a case where it's completely in Rishus of the Makabel, but not in that Mishnah? Amalei Rava told him, if you're telling me that Mishnah Bechayres is talking about a situation where the owner, the guy, took upon himself some responsibility if something happens to it, well, Tzayim Barzal Karislei, is that called Tzayim Barzal? That's not called Tzayim Barzal. The whole reason why it's called Tzayim Barzal is because it's an iron investment for the investor. He doesn't take on any losses, and now you're telling me that he took on some losses? Well, that's not Tzayim Barzal. Furthermore, even if you want to say that it is called Tzayim Barzal, well, Adetani Seifa, instead of the seifa of our Mishnah telling us that a yid is allowed to take on a tzoyim barzel deal from a guy? Well, if like bidi day, why don't we just make the differentiation within a yid himself? Why don't we just say that it's usher for a yid to take on a tzoyim barzel deal from a yid? However, when is that said? It's only if the yid who's investing doesn't take on any responsibility. But if the investing yid is taking upon himself responsibility, then it is okay to take on such a deal. And the Mishnah doesn't say that. Our Mishnah clearly tells us that all tzoyim barzel deals are usher between two yidin, only between a guy and a yid. So back to our question, how do we understand the Mishnah b'chayres? Rava says, both Mishnayos, our Mishnah and the Mishnah b'chayres, are talking about the investor is not taking any responsibility upon himself. So why is it in the Mishnah b'chayres, all children born to this animal are completely pata from b'char, even the children that technically belong to the managing partner, the yid, that's kivan de'i lo yayv zuze, if the yid doesn't pay the guy, the guy's going to come and take the original animal, even though he doesn't deserve all the profits, he's still going to take it away. And if he doesn't find the original animal that he gave to the yid, he's going to grab all the kids born to that animal, again, even though he doesn't deserve them. This is called Yad Nachir Be'emtza. The guy's hand is involved, meaning he still has an involvement in everything here, even though rightfully it might not belong, but he's going to take it away if he's not paid his due. Anytime we could say Yad Nachir Be'emtza, so that animal is pater from b'chayra, because it means it still has shayches, it still has something to do with the guy, and any animal that has to do with the guy is pater from b'chayra. And that's what the Mishnah b'chayra says is pater from b'chayra. But yes, in truth, when we're dealing with a regular tzoyim barzel deal, it's considered to be 100% in the rishos of the managing partner. That's what's the problem of ribbis. Now, continue to talk about ribbis, we quote a pasuk, mar b'hoina b'neshech v'tarbis, one who increases his wealth with neshech and tarbis, l'chayin indalim yikabtzenu, he collects it for the one who favors the poor. My l'chayin indalim, what does this mean for the one who favors the poor? So Rafi tells us, Kugan Shvar Malka, like Shvar Malka, who was a Persian king, they would take money from Yidin and give it to Gayim. And the reason why Gayim are called poor is because they're poor for mitzvahs. In other words, if a person charges ribbis, it's going to end up being taken from him and given to others. And Rav Nachman says, Armali Huna, Rav Huna told me, Loi Nitzracha El Dafilu Ribbis to Avik Chavim. The whole chiddush over here is that even if a Yid takes ribbis from a guy, he's going to eventually lose it. Well, now, based off of this, Esau Rav Nachman, Rav asked Rav Nachman, the Pasuk tells us, Lenachri Sashech. One could be Sashech to a guy. Now, my Sashech, what does that mean? Lav Tashuch, doesn't it mean that he can lend money by ribbis, meaning he can charge a guy ribbis? So we see that there's no problem charging a guy ribbis. We answer, Loi Sashech. It means that he should pay ribbis to a guy. So we ask, Loi Sagi Lav Hachi? Is it not sufficient if it doesn't happen? It seems like the Pasuk is commanding us, Lenachri Sashech, that you must do this to a Nachri. And if you're telling me that Sashech means pay ribbis, that's Mashmah. The Pasuk's telling us that you have to pay a guy ribbis. And that's what the Gemara's question is. Is it not sufficient if you don't pay a guy ribbis? Does every single yid have to go about paying Goyim ribbis so that he could fulfill this commandment in the Torah? That doesn't make sense. The Gemara answers, Lafuki achicha delay. The Pasuk is just excluding your brother that you're not allowed to pay him ribbis. In other words, when the Pasuk says, Lenachri Sashech, it means you could pay a guy ribbis, but you're not allowed to pay your brother ribbis. Ask the Gemara, Chicha behedik sevbe. It says beferish in the Pasuk that you're not allowed to pay your brother ribbis. What does it say? Ula chicha loy Sashech. And so that can't be what the Pasuk of Lenachri Sashech is telling us. The Gemara answers, yes, it is. Lavar olav baseva loy Sasei. The Pasuk's telling us that you're going to be over in Asay and a loy Sasei if you pay your brother ribbis. We have a loy Sasei of Ula chicha loy Sashech, and we have the Asay of Lenachri Sashech, that you may pay a guy ribbis. And from there, we learn that you're not allowed to pay your brother ribbis. Basically, we have two different lavim if a person pays ribbis to a yid, and no raya from a pasuk that it's permitted to charge a guy ribbis. However, Esau, we have another question. Our Mishnah says, Loivin mehen umalvin oisam beribbis, the ones allowed to borrow from and lend to gayim beribbis. V'chem ger toishav. So we see very clearly from our Mishnah that one's allowed to charge a guy ribbis. So Rav Chiya b'Rei Rav Huna, he says, Loin netzrecha, the whole chiddush is, Elo ayin alfa min alfa atav bechtei chayav. This is only for what's absolutely necessary. If a person simply has no way to live, and in order to make the bare minimum, he has to charge a guy ribbis, so that he's allowed to do. But if it's more than bechtei chayav, he just wants to make a lot of money, he's not allowed to charge a guy ribbis. Where we have a different answer, Ravina Amar Ravina says, over here we're talking about the chachamim. Time my guys rabbanon. Why the rabbanon guys there? The one is not allowed to charge a guy ribbis. Shema yolim masav. Maybe a person's going to learn from his ways. He's going to have a lot what to do with guyim because he's going to be doing a lot of business with them and charging them ribbis, and then he might end up learning from the guy. But v'kivin tamar chacham who, since his fellow is a tamar chacham, lo yolim masav. He's not going to learn from the guy, so the tamar chacham is allowed to charge a guy ribbis. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow with a similar memra. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.